Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
Welcome to Turning Point Weekend Edition. Knowing Bible prophecy is good for your spiritual health when you do something with it. Today, Dr. David Jeremiah explains that knowing what the future holds ought to result in action. Listen as David introduces today's message, The Last Word from Daniel.
Well, over these last several weeks, we have been studying the book of Daniel, and we've shared some of that on the weekend editions of Turning Point. Today, we're going to look at the last words from Daniel, and like many of the books in the Bible, after the doctrine comes the duty. After the teaching of truth comes the living of the truth. And we're going to hear from Daniel some practical applications as to how we go forward in life. I'm glad you joined us for the weekend. We're going to study the Word of God right now.
Many weeks ago, when we began to study this book, I shared with you at the beginning of the series that the purpose of the book of Daniel needs to be clearly kept in mind throughout. That what Daniel is trying to teach us by this Old Testament prophecy is that God is in control, that He is on the throne, that nothing happens in the way of accident before God. The Scripture teaches that there is a God in heaven, and that He is on the throne, and that kingdoms may rise and fall. Babylon comes and goes. The Medes come and go. The Persians come and go. But the kingdom of God continues to abide throughout. Well, we come to the fourth verse of the 12th chapter, and we notice, first of all, the prophetic seal. Here the Lord is speaking to Daniel, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Now that's a strange word for Daniel, having been with him all these days and spent all this time getting this information in a book, in a scroll, and when he gets all the way to the end of it, God just says to him, "Now Daniel, shut it up and seal it till the end of time." And I think if I were Daniel and I heard that at face value, I'd say, "Lord, you mean I've gone through all this work and I've written all this stuff down, I've recorded it all, now you're telling me I'm supposed to put a seal on it and nobody's allowed to read it? I mean, nobody writes a book for no one to read." But that's not exactly what the Lord had in mind. He was saying, "Daniel, close up the book until the time of the end." Now, folks, when is the time of the end? Let's make sure we understand that. Go back in chapter 11, verse 35, where we see that phrase mentioned. "And some of those of understanding shall fall to refine them, purge them, and make them white until," here's the phrase, "the time of the end, because it is still appointed." Notice verse 40. "At the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him." What is that? That's the great tribulation period. We've already studied that. The phrase, "the time of the end," is a reference to the end of the tribulation period. Now, God says to Daniel in chapter 12 and verse 4, "Shut up the words of this book. Put the seal on them until the end of the tribulation period." And what God is saying is two things. Number one, Daniel, there's no more information coming. That's it. You've got it all. I'm not telling you anymore. You've had the last word from me. It's all over. I don't have anything else I want you to write. Put the period at the end of the book. Secondly, Daniel, make sure the book is preserved because it's going to come into great meaning at a time in the future. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. He says, "Preserve the prophecy for another time." Now, we've talked about the fact that Daniel did not completely understand this book, and I hope no one's here who feels like we have now come to a perfect understanding of it. But you know what the Bible says? There's coming a period in time when the understanding of the book of Daniel will be even greater than it is now with all the Bible scholars and students we have. When is that time? In the time of the Great Tribulation. The Bible teaches us that at that particular time, this book is going to come alive as it never has before. Notice what it says. It says, "Until the time of the end, during that time, many shall run to and fro." And the prophetic students like to say, that means that there's going to be an increase of transportation. The supersonic jets and all that will be able to move fast. And that's wonderful, except that's not what it means. And I just wiped out a whole section of prophecy for some of you folks, but let me tell you what it means. Wherever this is found in the Bible, in this setting, it's a phrase which describes the determination on the part of people to come to an understanding of a body of truth. It says here that in the time of the end, many are going to be running back and forth, trying to understand what's going on. trying to figure out what's happening in their world. And they're going to be running all over the place trying to discover what's going on. And they're going to find ultimately the answer to those questions in this book we've been studying. In the Great Tribulation period, I'm convinced the number one bestseller is going to be the book of Daniel. Because it's the only book I know of that has anything to say about what's going to be happening there. If you want to know what's going on and get some understanding of it, you're going to have to get Daniel's prophecy. And the scripture says that during this period of time we know as the tribulation, men are going to be running all over the place, searching out answers to why there's such great suffering and sorrow, while the nations are against each other, and while so much bloodshed is all over the world, they're going to be running everywhere trying to find the answers, searching back and forth, and they're going to come at last to this book, and then their knowledge will increase. Can you imagine? I don't even like to think about it. Can you imagine being in the tribulation period, thinking through the things we talked about from Revelation 6 through 19, when all of the judgments of God are being poured out upon this land, and you don't know very much about spiritual things? All of a sudden, you're just in the midst of the worst time you ever heard of. You don't know anything about prophecy. You just walked into that. And I've been telling you that the tribulation period is not just more trouble than we've got now. The tribulation period is unlike anything you can imagine. More trouble than the world has ever known at any of its most horrible periods. And here's this innocent person who maybe doesn't know a great deal about the Word of God, a great deal about spiritual things, and they're cast into the midst of this, and they're trying to figure it all out. And the scripture says they're running everywhere. Can someone tell me what's going on? Someone says, here, let me give you this book. This is the writing of an old sage by the name of Daniel. He might help. Can you imagine the motivation for studying the book of Daniel then? I'll tell you what, there are going to be some classes on Daniel in the tribulation like you never heard of in your life. And they are going to be able to understand the book of Daniel like we have not ever understood it. Because while they're reading it, it's going to be lived out right in front of them. I think that's what the Lord's telling Daniel. He's saying, shut up the book, seal it. At a time in the future, it's going to be understood. And make sure that you keep it and preserve it. For there's going to be a day in the end when they run to and fro and they're trying to figure out what's going on. Now, let's go secondly to the prophetic sequence. That's the prophetic seal, verses 5 through 7. Then I, Daniel, looked, and there stood two others, one on this river bank and the other on that river bank. And one said to the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? And I heard the man clothed in linen who was above the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand to heaven, and he swore by him who lives forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half time. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all these things shall be finished. Now remember, when we began this section of scripture at the front end of chapter 10, Daniel is standing next to the Tigris River. Remember that? He's having this vision. He's standing there by the Tigris River. And this now takes us back to that vision. And Daniel says as he's standing there, he looks up, and on one side of the river is an angel. And on the other side of the river is another angel. And he looks, and again, there is the man clothed in linen who hovers over the river. Get that picture in your mind. An angel here and an angel here. And the man clothed in linen, who I personally believe now is the Son of God. He's hovering over the river. And Daniel says, as these two angels appear on the horizon, that the man clothed in linen is above the river, and that the angels begin to ask questions that probably Daniel wanted to ask, but they beat him to the punch. It says, I looked, and there stood two others on this river bank, and one angel said to the man clothed in linen, who was above the waters of the river, how long shall the fulfillment of these wonders be? Remember what I said, that the angels desire to look into the prophetic scheme? Here's an evidence of it. They're asking questions. They don't understand. They don't have the prophecy charts we have. And they're trying to figure out how this all fits together. So one of the angels standing on one side of the bank of the river looks up to the Lord, this Old Testament Christophany, and he says, how long will it be until these things are fulfilled? And the question we have is, what things? The things that relate to the Great Tribulation period. How long will these things go on? Now go back to chapter 10 and verse 5. I lifted my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose waist was girded with the gold of Uphaz. That's the same person who's hovering above the river. When we studied the 10th chapter, I was struggling with the identity of that man. But I've come to understand now that we're in the 12th chapter that it must be the Lord. For who else would the angels seek information from if they did not seek information from the Lord of glory? So here is an Old Testament picture of the Lord Jesus as the fountain of truth concerning the future. Who is the man clothed in linen? It must be Christ. And what is the question that he's asked? How long will it be for these wonders to transpire? The angels had a, if I could just say this for a moment, the angels had a vested interest in the answer to that question. You know what they're doing through all this time? They're in angelic warfare with the demons. And I think the angels are saying, how long are we going to have to go on with this? I mean, we'd like to get out. We'd like to be discharged. We're getting tired of fighting with the demons. Lord, how much longer is this thing going to go on? And so they're asking this question. Now, if you go back to the 7th chapter in verse 25, you're going to find out and remember that this has already been given by way of information. I just want to remind you of chapter 7, verse 25. And it says here, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand. For how long? For a time and times and a half time. Now go back to chapter 12. Stay with me now. We won't get lost. The angel is asking the Lord, how long is this period of great tribulation going to go on? How long are you going to let this go on? And the Lord says, in answer to that question, verse 7, that it shall be for a time and times and a half a time. Now, review with me for a moment. The time of the great tribulation begins in the middle part of the 7 years. At the beginning of the last 3.5 years, the great tribulation begins because of the covenant being broken with the Jewish people by the Antichrist. So the Lord is answering this question. How long is the great tribulation going to last? And here's his answer. It shall be for a time. That's 1 year. And times, that's plural, that's 2 years. 1 and 2 is 3. And a half a time. How long is that? 3.5 years. God says to the angel, the great tribulation is going to last for 3.5 years. That's exactly what he said back in the 7th chapter because he's consistent. Now notice. And when the power of the holy people has been completely shattered, all of these things shall be finished. What does that mean? The Lord said to the angel, the great tribulation is going to last for 3.5 years. And during that time, the people of the Jews, their power is going to be shattered. They are going to be a decimated people. 2/3 of the Jews are going to be wiped out. The rebellious, disobedient Jews who refuse to embrace the Lord Jesus as their Messiah are going to be destroyed. And when the tribulation period is ended, only 1/3 of the Jews alive at the end of the period. And that's why the scripture says, and so all Israel shall be saved, because the only ones left are those who have embraced the Messiah. Now, the Lord said to the angel, you want to know when will the fulfillment of these things be? Well, let me tell you. It's going to last for 3.5 years, and it's going to go on until the holy people have been shattered and the holy place decimated. Well, that brings us to verse 8, and that brings us to the prophetic suspense. Notice in the text, verse 8 and 9. Although I heard, I did not understand. Daniel, we understand what you're talking about. There's some of the things we've heard during these series that we don't understand either. Then I said, my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go your way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And that just blows my mind. Here Daniel has been writing down everything God wants him to write down, and he comes and he says, Lord, I don't understand this last little bit you've given me. And Lord, if you could just give me a little help understanding. And the Lord said, Daniel, just go your way. Just leave it alone. What God is saying to Daniel is this, Daniel, I've told you all I'm going to tell you. There isn't any more information. You know as much as you're going to know. And don't get enamored with knowing something I haven't chosen to tell you. Daniel, there is no time now for idle preoccupation in the prophetic realm. You know what I've discovered? There's so much in this book that we can preach with authority because we know, thus saith the Lord. Why would we want to dabble in those things that God has not revealed? And if God would say to Daniel, Daniel, you've got all you're going to get. I'm not giving you any more. That's it. And Daniel didn't have all of his questions answered, and yet he still wanted to know something God didn't reveal to him. Why should we then be so curious and so preoccupied with that which Daniel couldn't even get from God in a one-to-one confrontation? Let's notice the prophetic sequel, and we'll just move real quickly to the end. Verse 10, many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away and the abomination of desolation is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Now notice, God says to Daniel that the period of tribulation is going to be a time when certain things happen. verse 10. Many are going to be purified and made white. That's the remnant. That's the one-third, remember? But the wicked shall do wickedly. You know, some folks say to me, Pastor Jeremiah, I can't understand anybody not being saved in the tribulation period when all these bad things are happening, and if somebody's telling the truth, you'd think they'd just run to the gospel. But it's not going to be that way. The Bible says that the wicked are going to continue to do wickedly. They are going to be hardened in their iniquity, and they will not change. And the tribulation is just going to harden the hearts of those who are already wicked. The scripture says in that period of time, the wicked will continue to do wickedly. Now notice, we get into trouble at the beginning of the 11th verse. Now just stay with me now. It says, and from the time that the daily sacrifice is taken away, when's that? In the middle of the tribulation period, and the abomination of the desolation is set up. You remember that the Antichrist is going to come into the temple and he's going to set up the beast and they're going to worship the idol in the Jewish temple. That's why they call it the abomination of desolation. It's such an abomination that the temple is desolated of the Jews. They aren't allowed to go in anymore because it's corrupt. At the middle of the tribulation period, the abomination of desolation is set up. And then it says, there shall be 1,290 days. Write that number in the table of your mind, because that's a new number. We've never seen that number before. We've seen a lot of numbers in this book, and we've made them all fit together, but this one doesn't fit. The number we've seen before is 1,260. 1,260 days is 3.5 years. Now we got 1,290, and I'm saying to myself, Lord, where did that other month come from? We got 30 days I've never seen before. What does that mean? I don't know. I've read everything I can read. I've studied everything I can study, and I don't know. I have a guess, but I want you to understand this is not inspired and not thus saith the Lord. This is my sanctified guess. The scripture says that from the middle of the tribulation to the end is 1,260 days, and there's an extra month tacked on, and I personally believe that that extra month may be the period of time when the judgment of the sheep and the goats mentioned in the book of Matthew is taking place at the end of the tribulation period, and God just added in a month. All right, you got that? Now, here's something that'll really blow you away. Keep reading. Blessed is he who waits and comes to the 1,335 days. Oh, wait a minute. Now we got 45 more days we didn't have to start with. And I never saw that number before either. What in the world is going on here? Not 1260 and not any longer 1290, but 1335. And you say, what in the world does that mean? I want to read the verse that has the answer in it. Are you ready? Verse 8. I did not understand. That's the answer. Got it? Now, I'm not embarrassed to tell you that. I might have been if I hadn't read so many scholars I greatly appreciate who didn't have a clue either. But once again, let me give you what I think it might be. What happens after the tribulation period? The blessing of the kingdom takes place. So just imagine in your mind's eye. You know, it's not going to just be bang, bang like that. And it's, you know, we draw these straight lines on our prophetic charts and they look nice, but I don't think that's the way it is. The 3.5 years in the middle of the tribulation and the sacrifice is taken away and the abomination is begun and you get to the end of the tribulation period. The return of Christ at the Battle of Armageddon and all of that. The Lord is victorious. Then you've got that 30 days and the judgment of the sheep and goat takes place and then you're going to start the kingdom. But there's some organization that needs to be done. I happen to believe that what's going on here is the beginning of the kingdom. And God is organizing the kingdom and getting all of the things in place. And at the end of the 1,335 days, then the millennium begins and the kingdom age starts. Now, it's not hard for me to understand why Daniel said in the very last chapter, some things here I don't understand. The 1290, the 1335, I really don't know for sure. But God has a plan, and when he's ready to reveal it, he will. Now, that brings us to the last verse of this great book. And here's where I just want to stop and talk with you for a moment. The last verse is a sermon all by itself because it puts the fitting touch on what we've been studying. And I'd like to suggest to you that there are three things that God said to Daniel when he finished with Daniel in this prophecy that he wants to say to us now that we're finished studying it. And here are the three things. First of all, there's a word of responsibility. A word concerning responsibility. Notice what he says in verse 13. He says, but go your way until the end. Now, what is God saying? Daniel's in his 90s. I mean, he's about ready to check out. And God's given him all this wonderful truth, and it's all over. There's no more. He doesn't have anything more to say to him. And he says, now, Daniel, you've got it all. You've got it all written down. I've given you all the visions you're going to get. You've interpreted all of them that you need to interpret. Now, Daniel, the one thing I want to say to you is, go your way. What does that mean? It means, do your work. Go back to what you're supposed to be doing. Get involved. Take care of your responsibility. It's the Old Testament counterpart of the New Testament instruction, occupy till I come. Now, folks, this is so important because when we study prophecy, we get so enamored with the ins and outs, the 1290, the 1260, the 1335. I mean, we could sit here and study that until our calculators wear out. But that really isn't the focus of the Testament of prophecy. The focus is, here's what's going to happen. And this is what God has planned for the future. Now, in light of that, you better get busy. You better start doing what you're supposed to do. Get involved and do your thing. Whatever God's given you to do in the kingdom, be about doing it. Don't sit around counting the toes on Daniel's beast, reconstructing the image of the second chapter, fighting over and over again the war between the leopard and all of that. Get away from that now that you've got that information and go your way. What has God asked you to do? Serve him with gladness. We can understand the book of Daniel from the beginning to the end, but if we don't go our way and do what God's told us to do, we are an impoverished congregation, no better than a church that never heard one word from God. In fact, there's a reason to believe we're in much worse shape, because to whom much is given, much is required. And God wants to say to us that in light of the blessing we have with God's holy word, and we understand it, and we believe it, and we're committed to it, now let's do something about it. Why don't you bring your unsaved friends to church? You say, I can't witness, I don't know how. But all you got to do is go down and bring them, and let somebody preach to them. You say, well, that's the way they used to do it. Hey, that's the way it's still done. If I were to ask you how many of you came to know Jesus Christ in a church service, the vast majority of you would raise your hands. The Bible teaches that God still works through the foolishness of preaching. And we sit around waiting for friendship evangelism to take place, and it never happens. Do you know what it's like to give an invitation to the lost in a church and realize that in a church this size, the probability of a lost person being here is very minuscule? You say, well, I'm not sure I... Listen, you bring your lost, we won't embarrass them. We'll just preach to them. I'd like to challenge this congregation to take a look around at the people they know who ought to be saved who aren't. And if you can't do anything else, take them by the hand and bring them to church. I can promise you that whoever preaches while I'm here, somewhere in the message there's going to be a call to the Christian gospel. And I really believe that's what the prophetic word is all about. It's not just to get us fat and sassy and sit back with all this information. We're so bloated. The world is dying and going to hell, and we just sit around thanking God for all the great teaching we have. Folks, it's time we quit thinking about getting our own needs met and start worrying about the needs of the people out there God has called us to reach. And go out with this book, equipped as we are, to meet their needs in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Daniel is told by the Lord to go his way and to get busy for God. I don't know how to say it anymore intensely than I'm saying it. God has blessed us. Now let's get up out of the pew and get out there where the lost are and win them to Jesus Christ. And if you don't know how to witness, bring them to church. You'll be surprised what God will do. Secondly, it's a word of resurrection. And I just share this quickly. A word of responsibility. Secondly, a word of resurrection. Notice what he says. He says, Daniel, go your way till the end. Now notice, for you shall rest and will arise. Oh, wow. In the Old Testament book of Daniel is the story of the resurrection. God says, Daniel, you go your way now. You deserve to rest, but you're going to be resurrected. And one day, you're going to arise. Someone wrote, toil and trouble, discouragements and disappointments will all be over for Daniel. Daniel's long, strange, wonderful journey was about to end. He no more would be the target for cruel, envious, jealous office seekers. He's seen his last den of hungry lions. His righteous soul will no longer be vexed by the sin of Jew or Gentile. a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and faith, tested and true, loving and loyal, faithful and fearless, Daniel will rest and await the resurrection morning when he will be richly rewarded by his wonderful Redeemer and King. When our work is done, may we too hear the wonderful words of our wonderful Lord, go and rest. That's what God said to him. Daniel, go and rest, because there's coming a resurrection day. There have been some days recently when those words sounded kind of neat to me. Go and rest. God says to us that someday there's going to be a time in our life when he'll say to us, go and rest and await the resurrection. Does that mean the body goes in the grave and the soul sleeps? Absolutely not. He's talking here about the body. The body goes in the grave. The soul goes to be with the Lord. And then in the resurrection day, the body and the soul are reunited and go into the presence of God. A word of resurrection. Now notice thirdly and lastly, a word of reward. Go your way, Daniel, for you shall rest and will arise to your inheritance in the end of days. And your scripture in the King James, it may say, to your lot. What is God saying? You remember where Daniel's been all his life? At the age of 14, he was jerked out of Jerusalem, the holy city, and taken away to a foreign culture, away from the Holy Land, away from the land of Palestine, that glorious land. And Daniel never set foot in that land, as far as we know, through all the rest of his life. He died away from the land of Jerusalem, away from the land of Palestine. And God's just promising him, Daniel, someday, you're not going to make it back there in this life, but someday you're going to be a part of the redistribution of the land. Your inheritance is safe, Daniel, of the tribe of Judah. Someday you will be a part of the redistribution of this land in the kingdom age, and your inheritance is secure. What a promise. Preserved and reserved in heaven forever for Daniel. Well, that's the book. A tremendous book. A book about a man that God used in a signally wonderful way to be the messenger of hope and comfort during a time of great discouragement for God's people. Now at the end of the journey, God has a wonderful promise for Daniel. A word of responsibility, a word of resurrection, and a word of reward. All very fittingly true of each one of us, if we will just let the Holy Spirit drive home the truth of this book to our hearts.
We hope you enjoyed today's Turning Point Weekend Edition with Dr. David Jeremiah. You can hear this and other programs and get more information about our ministry by downloading the free Turning Point mobile app for your smartphone or tablet, or by visiting our website at davidjeremiah.org/radio. That's davidjeremiah.org/radio. You can also view Turning Point Television on free-to-air channel 72, Sunday mornings at 8, and on ACC TV, Sundays at 6:30 a.m. and Fridays at 1 p.m. We invite you to join us again next weekend as Dr. David Jeremiah shares another powerful message from God's Word, right here on Turning Point Weekend Edition.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.